You're on Sunday night on ABC Radio around Australia. John Cleary with you. Time now for our postcard, our regular feature. And this week we're going to somewhere we all know from the news, the Solomons. Last week in the Solomons, a devastating earthquake and the potential of a tsunami. Noel Debien, you've been in touch with folk there. How is it?
Well, I've been in contact with the Red Cross up there. They've had, I mean, everybody's up there. The World Bank's even arrived at this point. There's a lot of action going on there, and the aid is getting through. And when you say the potential of a tsunami, of course, from our perspective, that's quite right. Mm-hmm. But on Gizo, the island up there, there sure was one, and it's swept away villages. They're still counting the dead and all those sorts of things. But I thought it would be a good idea to get in contact with the Red Cross there, and Susie Chippendale's on the ground. And hopefully Susie's on the line right now. Hello, Susie.
Yes, speaking. Can you hear me?
Yes. Can we begin by, why don't you tell us exactly what you've just been doing?
Okay. I arrived here last Thursday. I spend a fair bit of time in the country because I work on an AusAid-funded project with Australian Red Cross, which involves us, Australian Red Cross, working pretty closely with Solomon Islands Red Cross to help build their capacity to respond to disasters like these. We work with them on their financial systems, all sorts of things. So when this disaster happened, I was sent pretty quickly and made my way to Gizo. It was very striking because I know quite a few people there, and I landed in the middle, obviously, of absolute chaos. Lots of people, 2,000 people on Gizo Island, displaced, living in camps.
Just for those who don't know, the Gizo is an island quite close to Papua New Guinea. It's sort of on the edge of the Solomons there, north of Queensland, just up to the left, nearly at Papua New Guinea. What did you actually see when you landed? Can you describe what you saw?
Well, it was very much like, what really struck me was how like it was like the images that I saw of the Indonesian tsunami. Now, that they were the really badly damaged villages, probably not the scale of the Indonesian tsunami of 2004, but the total destruction of some villages was very similar. You saw boats in the middle of the little roads in the villages smashed up against the hillsides, and houses just totally wiped out. That was very striking for me. It really reminded me of those images. And then we went up to the camps and saw people who were huddled under tarpaulins and really coming to terms with the fact that they'd lost everything they owned.
We've got various briefings. I think the latest I heard from Radio Australia is they're counting something like 44, 50, 60 aftershocks, even tremors overnight. What are you hearing about the extent of damage and casualties at this point? What's the best briefing you have?
Well, the official death toll, as far as I know, in the Solomon Islands is 39, but we're aware that there have been more people, more bodies discovered in the water. That hasn't been made official yet, but I wouldn't be too surprised if there were more found, because there's still 60 people missing, and obviously where the wave, where the tsunami was large and swept away villages, people who were particularly vulnerable, elderly and young children, were most likely swept away as well. In terms of damage, the islands that I've been visiting while we've been distributing aid with Red Cross have been, there are different problems. On some islands, landslides are the problem. So on the island of Renonga, which is where most of the fruit and vegetables are grown, landslides have come down and covered up their gardens, so they don't have any root vegetables. And that'll be a process of rebuilding, but at the moment they're too afraid to go near it because there are big cracks in the ground, whereas in other places that are really right on the water's edge, fresh water's a problem because their water supplies have been contaminated or moved completely as part of the earthquake. And damage varies from villages being wiped out entirely by the wave to buildings being damaged by the earthquake. So there's a lot of different situations depending on the islands, and obviously that has been assessed by Red Cross and other groups and government, and it's going to take a little while to really understand what's needed and to respond.
Have you yourself been feeling or experiencing the aftershocks that we get reported?
Oh, yes. In Gizo, a couple of nights ago, we were nearly thrown out of bed in the middle of the night. And the there was a really loud bang from the hotel, and we were on the bottom floor. So it was really frightening. And most afternoons or in the middle of the night, you would feel considerable aftershocks, things swaying around on tables, buildings swaying around. And so you can imagine how frightening that is for people in camps contemplating returning to their homes. Given the tsunami came 15 minutes after that initial earthquake, with every aftershock, of course, people are expecting another big wave.
So at this point for Red Cross, what are the urgent things that you're attending to? What stage is assistance at?
What we're really looking at now, distributing, we've put in Honiara, Red Cross has sent about 20 ton yesterday and today of hardware, things like bush knives, things people have lost. Bush knives are really an essential for everyone. You see little children wandering around with them because people who live in the very forested areas really need them just to make their way around. But also people are looking at returning to their homes, not sleeping there yet, not thinking of resettling necessarily. They're still very frightened, but just to start to try and retrieve some belongings. And so hardware, tools are things that are really in demand at the moment, and we're moving a lot of those. Mosquito nets, we're sending still more mosquito nets because people are sleeping out in the open. They're very vulnerable to malaria, which is already a huge problem here, of course. And kitchen utensils. People lost all of their cooking utensils. So those kinds of things are coming up in on barges. There was a French aircraft here that the French government sent from Numia, but it's gone back. Now we're looking at shipping. But the food aid is coming through very well and being distributed very well. And so we're looking now at that next phase of things that people need to get on with it. And I think, you know, longer term, the International Red Cross is there on the ground working with the local Red Cross, and that they're no doubt looking at longer term plans and programs and what people really need long term.
Susie Chippendale in Honiara for the Red Cross, thanks for talking with Sunday Nights.
My pleasure.